Hallelujah. Yeah, give that to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Man, I don't want to sound like one of them old folks, but I like those old songs. I've been singing a few of them all week, to be honest, and that was the icing on the, I love that, Sister Liz. Heart, beautiful. Anybody want to see Jesus? Amen. I need him to lead me now and all the way to the promised land. Amen. Show yourself friendly to somebody. Say hi, wave at them, and have a seat. Show them we're a friendly church. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, welcome to Life Tabernacle. Studying this morning, I got two titles. One is from John 12:21, talks about we would see Jesus. We'll get to the second one just a little bit later, and that is and I already lost my second title, but it is, how does God see us in Christ? Got it on my iPhone. Amen. Amen. So the opening scripture in John 12:21. And there were certain Greeks, starting verse 20, there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Okay, these are not of the Jewish group. And some certain came, verse 21, they came therefore to Philip, which is in Bethsaida. I'm going to move this down just a little bit, Brother Mike. Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again, Philip, to tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Amen. We would see Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Oh, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus. Amen. I need you, Lord. Hallelujah. I totally depend on you. Anoint these lips of clay. Bless each and every here that is here today. Open up our hearts and our eyes. And help us to see, God, what you'd have us to see today from the Word of God. Feed us from that bread of heaven. We ask this day for our daily bread. And bless every heart that's here. And everyone that's teaching below, that your hand would be upon them in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Well, this was a good request. They weren't part of the Jewish sect, and they couldn't just barge their way in with the disciples and the crowd. And so they put in a request, we would see Jesus. And who wouldn't want to see Jesus? Amen. And his miracles and watching him perform. And yet, the Lord has put that on us, that anointing, for he said, greater works than this shall you what? Shall you do? He said, you are going to be the light of the world, right? I go away and I'm going to prepare a place for you that there I am. You may be also. Amen. And he says, I'm with you. Lo, I'm with you even to the ends of the earth. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But boy, we go through some trials sometimes and it's like, God, where are you? Amen. And so we would see Jesus. We're going to talk a little bit on that lesson with that. Let's go to Luke 4:24. 4:24. Luke 4:24. Amen. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows and were in Israel in the days of Elias, and when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine throughout all the land, he's basically saying nobody was sent to draw into any of those widows but this woman in Zarephath. I mean, know that story. Make me a cake first. A little, she says, I got enough meal, I'm going to make me a little cake for me and my son. There was a big famine in the land, and she had enough meal and enough oil to make a meal for her and her son, and then she said, I'm going to die. And it really is miraculous, and you think, man, the audacity, how would you feel if you're down to your last meal, and pastor stopped by your house and said, make me the cake first. And then you'll have enough for yourself. It's going to take some faith. But the Bible says that the Lord told Elijah to go down there. He said, I have commanded the widow woman to sustain thee. So somehow she had, either she had a word of the Lord or something was instilled within her when he showed up. But there were a lot of widows in Israel. There was famine in Israel, but he was sent to none of them. And I'm just saying, I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss anything that God has for me. I got a friend. His name's Jim, and he was telling me. He says, you know, if there's somebody down front and they're saying, come down front here. You know, somebody's preaching. Talk about a minister, or somebody down at the front that's saying, come forward, and God wants to do this for you, or God wants to do that for you. And he says, if you have your eye on me, he says, my little feet are going just like this, all the way to the front. I liked what he said. His concept was, I want everything that God's got for me. And so should you. Amen. Amen. Don't cut yourself short. All the blessings of God in him are their yea and their amen. All the promises of God, their yes, their amen. And God has promised to supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. Is he able? He's able. He wants you to have faith in it. He wants you to believe him for it. Listen, God knows where you're at and knows what your need is before you ask, the Bible says. But on the other hand, he does say, ask. You have not because you ask not. And then for some people, he said, you ask amiss. Well, how do you ask right? You ask according to this word. And then whatever you ask and you believe, amen. God's faithful and wants you to receive that. So there are many widows, and he made reference. There were many, there was many lepers. Man, what a beautiful story that is. And of all things, a little maid, how many have heard the story of Naaman? Naaman went down to the river to dip, and he dipped, and he dipped. Man, we used to do that in children's church 7 times, and he come up brand new. When I was growing up, my bedtime stories from my dad were Bible stories, and I loved the bears. Terrible of a story that was, where they come after the kids because they had made fun of the prophet. My dad didn't tell the bad side of it. He just talked about the kids calling, "Go up, bald head, go up, bald head," and how he'd come after us like a bear, and we'd scream, and it was like, tell it again, God. Tell it again, Dad. And I began to learn the stories. And Naaman, what an interesting... And Jesus makes reference to him. He wasn't an Israelite. He was a mighty man of valor. He was a great man of war, a great general, had won a lot of battles for the Syrian army. I think it was King Aram. But he had one problem. He had leprosy. We don't hardly see that anymore. Anybody know what leprosy does or what leprosy is? It's a killing, you know, your nerves die and parts of your fingers start to go first. Usually starts in your extremities and your feet. And, you know, today they just got some wonderful medicines. For the most part, they can treat it. But back in those days, unless you had a supernatural miracle for God, well, he's taken somewhere. One of the maids of Israel must have took some captives or won some battles, and doesn't give us all the details. But that maid says, oh, would God, my Lord, would see the prophet in Israel. He says that he would recover him of this leprosy. Amazing. That word gets to Naaman. He runs to the king. He ends up with letters, gives the letters to his king, and that king takes those letters, and he ends up at the king of Israel, and the king of Israel reads that letter. I have sent Naaman to you to recover him of the leper. And basically, the king rent his clothes because he said, look what this guy's doing. He's trying to create a war with me. Elisha hears of it. Elisha says, send him to here, send him over to my place and let him know there's a prophet in Israel. There's a man of God in Israel. Back then, the word of the Lord was given often through the prophets, through the man of God, and there was a prophet over all of Israel, and that was God working through that prophet. I love the story. He comes rolling up in all his splendor, and he's got gold, and he's got silver, and he's got raiment. He's ready to pay homage to him or give a blessing to the prophet, and the prophet doesn't even come out the door. And he got pretty upset, and he basically sent his messenger out and said, go dip in the River Jordan 7 times, and he went away in a rage, and he says, I was up there much better and cleaner rivers and Abana and Farfar, and he was insulted, he was in a rage. Must have been dirty like the St. Joe River or maybe the Elkhart River. Have you ever swam in that? I did as a teenager. It was pretty bad. The sewer overflowed into the river after the big rains. It wasn't pretty. Anyways, he told him to go dip 7 times. You know, sometimes things God tells us to do doesn't always make sense. God doesn't always explain himself. Sometimes we really do this. We get preconceived ideas on how, you know, God's going to touch us. The service has got to get so hot, or there's got to be a big Holy Ghost breakout down. And I'm talking about me. I'm talking about sometimes I've thought that way. You can limit God with your unbelief, or I think everybody has a point of contact. The woman in the Bible with the issue of blood, her point of contact said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, right, I will be every whit made whole. And legally, she couldn't even do that. She's supposed to call unclean, but her faith, amen. Sometimes everybody has some kind of point of contact, but I'm saying every time you come to God, sometimes it's a lot simpler than what we make it, is what I'm trying to say. The gospel is really quite simple, amen. Repent, be baptized, all your sins, get your sins washed away, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, amen. And so, to finish the story, the servants, he's going away, he's in a rage, and he said, I thought his preconceived, and pretty, I think most of us would thought it that way too. He's going to come out, you know, strike his hand over the leper, or whatever, but he didn't even come out. He just sent a message with the servant, didn't touch him, didn't do anything for him, went away with a rage, and his servants said, hey, you know, master, if he had told you to have done some great thing, you know, swim across the greatest lake or some great feat, wouldn't you have done it? He said, how much more to this river to wash and be made clean? And they changed his heart. He went to the Jordan River. He dipped the first time, nothing happened. He dipped the second time, nothing happened. The third time, the fourth time, don't give up yet. The fifth time, the sixth time. But on the seventh time, the Bible says he came up and his skin was new, like the flesh like a baby. Amen. You know how soft it is. We got a brand new baby down in Florida. My wife had the honor of going down and seeing it yet. I'll see him in October. I now have 11 grandkids. Amen. What a blessing from the Lord. And I'll get talking to my grandson. I'm really excited about my 3-year-old, Emmett. He's the only cook boy I got. Talking about a baby's flesh, but he, at 3 years old, he could almost cite the 23rd Psalm. It's the most precious thing. Yeah. I may have to post that on next time I speak so you can see that and rejoice with me just a little bit. But it's really exciting. He really is taking on listening to the radio. They have a Bible reading app, and you can see him trying to send the words with his mouth. Very, very, very neat. Very, very cool. But his flesh came just like that of a baby. And he was so excited he'd come back. I mean, he had like 10 talents of gold and so much silver and changes of raiment. I mean, the finest of Syria that he wanted to give Elisha. And I, you know what? Sometimes you just can't, you can't buy this thing. The Bible says buy the truth and sell it not. But the Bible also says it's without money and it's without price. Don't get me wrong, it isn't a time to receive offerings and different things like that. But in this case, Elisha said no. He was, for whatever reason, God's not going to receive that. This was just the goodness of God. And you know, there was such a change in that man's heart that he asked Elisha that the Lord would pardon him. He says, when I walk into Dagon's house and I have to kneel for my master, his Lord. And he said, Lord, pardon me in this thing. But he asked for him to worship. He said, let's load some mules with some dirt and take them back. He wanted a place to kneel that was like Israel. And he now wanted to worship the one true God. And that's what happens, amen, when God does a miracle in somebody's life that you witness to, can be at your work, can be going to somebody in the hospital. I told you the story. I don't claim to have the gift of healing, but I've got that same Holy Ghost, amen? And I've told you the story of Kellen, and he was, there's no doubt in my mind, he was dying, he was going downhill, and they had a hole in his stomach from drugs. He'd fallen out of church, and they had an operation on his stomach, but he was going from bad to worse. He had black bile coming out of his tube, which is a mixture of blood and part of your bile, I guess, for your digestive system. But his oxygen was going down, his heartbeat was going down, and the hospital said, we're going to put him in an induced a coma. And I don't know the logistics of all that or how all that works, and trying to let his body rest, you know, so he can heal. And he's saying goodbye to his daughter and his family, and I can't help but think he said a prayer to God, because you think you're going to die, you know, you want things right with God. And next thing I know, he reached out to my wife's half-sister, Charity, and I think Charity got a little nervous. Obviously, she wanted to help him. She wanted to go pray, and so she called and got a hold of Stephanie and me, and I barely knew Kellum. Went to a church just like this one over in Granger, and he'd fallen out of church and gotten into drugs, and I had met him when we were moving one time, and I just couldn't get over the heart of this young man, because I don't know about you, I've moved people like five times. I don't like moving stuff. Anybody feel that way? I'd rather call the mover. I do not like it, you know, up the stairs, down the stairs, and stuff's got to go in the dumpster, and stuff's got to be broke down, and stuff's breaking as we take it apart, and the washer and the dryer, and oh, Lordy. And he was there with a smile on his face, you know, and I was like, Kelly, and that was the only time I had an interaction with him. Little did I know down the road, he was reaching for God. You know, here's someone who went outside the church, but the church, my daughter and I, went to Kelly. Amen. I had a word for him. I mean, right out of Psalms, it talks about, call unto me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee. And God basically says, I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. And I took my Bible, and I showed him that verse. Now I'm calling God out at his word. You know, God wants you to speak his word. God wants you to stand on his word, and I tell you, results will happen. And I'm just me. I looked at him, and I was trying to be kind, but I just said, Kellen, you know, look at you. I guess I was saying, you know, you're out of sight of church, and here you are dying. I didn't say all that. I just said, look at you. And I said, you need to be in church. And Effie, somebody had given me one of the kids. Maybe Steph brought it. It was from Effie. It's from one of the kids. But they had they had laid hands, and they had prayed over some anointing cloths. And I'll never forget. I told him what that was. And it was from the church. And when I handed that to him, he grabbed that thing and clutched that like, you ever been on the end of your rope? And sometimes people have to come to the end of the rope in life. So I've met a lot of that in jail. Before they come to the realization they need God, you know, because their family's forsaken them, and even the law somewhat is forsaken. Everybody's forsaken them, and they're losing everything from their car or their house. I was ministering to Matt. His wife divorced him while he was in the jail. Man, those were tough, tough times. But Jesus is there through it all. It's wonderful to feel the Lord reaching for somebody. Amen. The love of God will flow through you. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. If you show up and trying to do a bit of, I'm telling you, God will show up. God did show up. The next day, he got better. He was supposed to go to intensive care. He didn't go to intensive care. And the next day, he was better. All I know is on the third day, they told me he went home. And the next thing I know, he was going to charity church. But he was going to church. He got back into church, was serving the Lord. Amen. That's seeing Jesus. You know, God, open our eyes. Amen. Open our eyes. God, use us. I've got I have a new saleswoman person at work, and she's a lady. She's a single mom, and when she came, and we've never had a lady, you know, in my office. It's really different for me. I was a little nervous on how all that would work out. It's really worked out great. And when she came, she said something that caught me. She said, "I believe the powers of the universe brought me here." And she was sure, and I felt like Paul, you know, when he was at Athens, talked about the unknown God, and he says, "I'm going to reveal to you that who that God is." I thought about that when she said that, and I thought, the Lord has brought her to here, and I'm going to show her who the powers of that universe is. Amen. And like any other world. I don't mean this in a bad way. Liberal, you know, left, women's rights, a whole lot of stuff is conservative that, you know, goes against the grain. It's like, oh, Lord, how am I going to bring this about? And she went through a terrible tragedy. Her fiancé had had a heart attack, the Widowmaker, and died. And she devastated over all of that. And she really believed at times that he was coming around and making signs that he was there and there. And you just got to have patience and let God, let the Holy Spirit do a work, amen? And I was supposed to have, Christopher came for a while, Matt's son, and he wanted to go out for a hamburger. So I said, let's go to Red Robin's. And something came up and he canceled, and she heard me making the calls, and I started telling her about this young man. And then I had to tell her about Matt, and then he canceled again, and we talked and brought it up again, and I started, how did you meet Matt? And I start telling him a little bit about the jail ministry, and all of a sudden, I said, oh, God, here we go, because I just started talking about God, and I started talking about how I was going to the jail, and Gordy was telling me, you really need to go to the medical ward, and nobody's going there, and he said, these guys are sick, and a lot of them are dying, and there's no chaplain going to the medical ward. Well, I was pretty new, and I was pretty busy, and I was wanting to get around to it. And there was somebody else in the jail, Phil Bontrager, another chaplain, come up to me and wanted to join me. He wasn't going to any of the wards or doing any work with that. He just wanted to do a ride-along or play a part, and that it really actually worked out really well. That first night he asked me, he said, or maybe it was the second or third time he came with me, he said, Steve, he said, I think we need to go to the medical ward. And I looked at him and I said, yeah, we need to go to the medical ward. Let's go. And we went my first time in, and Matt was on the phone and he was saying goodbye to his wife. He was basically, he had told the Lord, I didn't know this, this is how God works. He had told the Lord the night before, if you're out there and you're real, send somebody to minister to me. And that night he was on the phone. He was going to tell his wife goodbye. He was going to go hang himself because he was like, I just can't. As a blind guy, I just can't do the time. I'm telling her what happened, and I'm going through it, and I'm telling you, the presence of the Lord showed up, and I just felt like this encompassment, whether it was an angel, whether it was the Lord. All I know is the power of God. Came in that office, and I was a little bit like this, I guess. I was trying to contain myself, hold myself together, And just about like this, and I looked up, and this cold-hearted leftist, non-conservative liberal, in tears. Pouring down her face. And then she put her hands and began to sob. And the first time, sorry about that. She met Jesus. All of a sudden, Jesus became real to her. And I told her, I said, you know, when you came to this office, and you said, the powers of the universe brought me here. I said, I knew God had brought you here for a reason. I don't mean to be so religious about that. I mean, if I don't do the job, God's going to use somebody. If he don't use me, he's going to use someone else. We just got to be available and let God use us. Amen. I'm so sorry. It's really powerful to see. I mean, God can change somebody's life in a moment, in an instant. And you just never know. My earlier salesman, and I probably told you about that, Bill, many years ago when I first went into the office, and he came in, and he used to be a supervisor, and he ended up in sales, and it's a long story. He kind of got the bend of the deal because he lived in Chicago, and now he's having to come and help me. They really wanted him to just quit and fail. But he was really upbeat and very charismatic, and he said, I used to be a soup, so I can help you there, and I'm sales, and he did. He handled all the brunt. I wasn't really good at people then. I was new to the office. I wasn't really good with confrontation. That was 15 years ago. All that's changed. I mean, God's just schooled me so much and gives me favor. In fact, she got into with one of our universities out in Angola, got all excited with her, and I was amazed how God used me to turn that around. It was just like wisdom. It's like, it's favor. It's the favor of God. He'll give you favor with him and favor with man. So Bill, he said I was the first guy that he'd come across that actually said he just couldn't believe I had a Bible, and he saw me reading the Bible. But it was a long drawn. I mean, he was with me 4 or 5 years. At one time, he and Pastor and his friend, I invited him to the house because his wife had cancer. And I just told him, I believe God can work a miracle. It's the first time in my life he told Pastor, he told me, told us after we showed up, been through too much, didn't really want a miracle. She just wanted to go home, be with Jesus. It's like, wow. And she did. At 50-some years old. So he retired at 60. Long story short, you think those seeds are long gone? And, man, he tells it. He just goes on and on. I tell him over and over and over. It wasn't me. It was a work of the Holy Spirit. I invited him on vacation once. I'm just good friends with him. I don't mean you got to take somebody on your vacation. It was easy for me. Kyle got him a buddy pass. He paid that, you know, for a ticket down. We met down in Florida. And back then, Kyle had a 4-bedroom house and no kids. He had empty rooms everywhere. So Bill a room, and I had a room, and we were on a fishing charter. And then come the question. We wanted to invite him to church for Friday night. And he said, nope, not going Friday. But he says, I'll go Sunday. I'm like, okay, that's a deal. We'll take Sunday. Didn't bring you down on the trip just to make you go to church, but you know, it does something. You get somebody in the presence of the Lord. Church was designed by God. Amen. It's the body of Christ. There's healing. There's power. I don't have to tell you. You're here. So he came, and I really didn't know his background, but this is his testimony. He told me. He said, that church was so foreign to me. That's what he said. You know, we're raising our hands, and we're praising God, and the worship's going on, and the Holy Ghost is coming down, and Kyle's pastor, he really is a pastor of pastors. I just think the most of him. I really enjoy listening to his Bible studies, and all his material is free. And I said all that to say, I showed Bill back there. They got a huge library, and there's CDs and there's books on so many things that he could learn from. And Bill Brando, and he turned it down. He said, well, if it's available online, I'll get it online. I thought, oh, he's blowing us off. That's the end of it. And he went home, got connected to their faith school. They had just started that. He's gone through every, I mean, now there's many. Yes, so went through every one of them. He never missed a service at home, online. And you don't think much of that, but, and he did that probably for 4 or 5 years. I mean, faithful. And want to come back. He's like, I'm going to that church. Like, okay, we're going to the church. He wanted to be in the front row, and he worshiped, and he knew the song. It was so exciting. And today he's in a church, then rebaptized. He's serving the Lord. You just never know, right? It's so exciting, isn't it? Oh, that excites me. You just keep sowing a seed. I mean, just the light. You know what? Let your light shine. Let people see Jesus through you. The Lord has worked on me. I haven't always, in a group setting, prayed out loud for my meal. And I've had two outside, one's a Christian customer, Fabicab, Bobby, and we was at Hacienda, and I'll never forget, I was with the group, and he said, hey, hold on, guys, if you don't mind, he said, I'm just going to kick it, and then he just prayed the most beautiful prayer, and now one of the friends that we fly out to eat with on a Saturday, some of the guys, we have some similar planes and birds, and they're amazing people. And Dana has recently got back in church, and it was a Catholic prayer, but it was a beautiful prayer. And he's talking about blessing the food and the name of Jesus. And I was, man, thank you, Dana. You know, I was saying amen with him. And we need to do that, amen. We need to show them who Jesus is. It affected me. Surely it's affecting everybody. I did it recently with the guys at work. They were stunned. They didn't see anything. I don't care. I'm sowing a seed. You know, when you start doing that and they got a problem, the first one's going to come to you and they need prayer or they need God or their dad's dying or mom's dying or something is at the end of the rope and they can't reach it and they need God. Amen? Amen. Our world needs God. Amen. Well, let me get you to the next. Let's see. Let's go to Judges 6:12. If you can pull that up, Sister Huff. If I can find that. We'll talk about how does the Lord see you? How does the Lord see you? This is just one example. I'm not doing this subject near justice, but God doesn't see us the way we see us. He says, I know the thoughts I have for you. He says, I know I have the plans I have for you. Now, whether you fulfill those plans or not, but you can. And God really does. I mean, he speaks to Gideon this way. Look at 6 and verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which is at Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abzarite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. It's like the story of Ant and the grasshoppers. You know, they would thresh, they would make wheat, and they'd just come in the Midianites and say, thank you very much, we'll take that home, free flour, free food, you know, cornmeal. But Gideon's trying to get some food for himself, so he's threshing this by the way. And they're under oppression. They're under oppression by the enemy. They're the Midianites, you know, are taking everything they have. And the angel says unto him, appears unto him in verse 12, and unto him, and the Lord, and he said unto him, this is bizarre, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now God's calling things that be not as though they were. He's already calling forth what Gideon's going to be, but Gideon's got to accept the call. And then Gideon's got some questions for him. Gideon says, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, where be all his miracles? Why has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us. Amen. And that did happen under the hands of the Midianites. Notice the angel doesn't talk anything negative. Watch the next verse. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites, have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, oh, my Lord, I'm going to paraphrase. How am I going to save Israel? My family's poor. I'm the least of my father's house. I'm a nobody. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. I don't have time to read the whole thing. You can have some homework, and you go home and read the few chapters of Gideon. But it's a powerful message, and he does a few things, and you know, to prove God and make sure God's with him. But out of 20,000 people that show up, he says, "Who's afraid? Let them go home." I think it's like 10,000. Well, actually, two thirds of them went home. And you know what God tells him? You still got too many men, Gideon, because if you win with this group, they're going to valiant themselves. They're going to take the credit for it, that they did it, and God wanted the glory. Always want to give God the glory for everything, amen? And more will come. Give him the credit, the glory is due and honor to his name. And so with just 300 men, and God had a plan. They came up at night, and they had a big lamp, and they had a pitcher. And they had their sword, and he said, you know, on a certain signal, they were to slap that thing together and make a big clash, the pitchers to break, and the light was going to shine, and yell the sword of the Lord with Gideon. And when they did that, the enemy woke up, and they were in such a confusing array in the darkness. They were all just throwing a sword at everybody, and they killed more of themselves than what Gideon and the army ever had to even go in and do the work. And so God got the glory, amen. Amen. God can do anything. How about when circumstances overwhelm us? It happens to me at work. You know, even after 39 years, you just don't see it all. What happens when you're overwhelmed? What happens when problems come in? I was at Memorial. Oh, I didn't mean to say the word, but I was at the hospital. And Sean, my tech, was on vacation that day, and prior to that, he had had some problems with gout, and we were really behind on getting some things going, and I got some, long story short, I went there to help my other tech, Evan, and we make a really good team. I still have a card. I can go out in the field. I'm still a union paid hourly guy, and I'm telling you, it was like Job. They kept coming to this one's down, that one's down, this one's down, can you check this one, and it's like, what in the world is going on? And they got construction going on, so the fire alarm had went off and just shut down the whole garage. And I got over there, and I never saw this before. An old lady was trying to talk to her, and she was distressed, you know, why the elevator's down. It's like, it wasn't our fault, you know, the alarm's went off. It was on fire service, and she backed up into the corner and began to kind of melt and cry. And I said, what is wrong? You know, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she said, I walked all the way over to the other side of the parking garage, and those elevators aren't working. I go over to these elevators, and these ain't working. And she's like, my legs hurt, and I can't make it to my car. And she goes, I don't know what I'm going to do. And she's just melting. And, of course, we're running. I had an idea. We'll run upstairs. I can put it on fire service, and I can bring it down to the first floor right out of the car. Evan had the same idea, was already on the way. I'm talking to the maintenance guy, telling him, get the fire reset. I can't reset the cars. Do you reset that? He's upstairs wanting to reset the controller. He's a new guy. And I'm telling him, do not reset the controller. Cato, do not. You know what I'm saying? And what's he do? I said, no. And he said, go. And he reset one of the controls. Well, you're going to trap somebody. And elevators do not come out of fire service. People think that's the magic key. It's the worst key. It will lock in. It will not let go. And now you got to fix the problem and get the car to reset out of fire service, which is quite a, now you know about fire service on an elevator. But when your heart's overwhelmed, you know, what do you do? Psalms 107, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen. God sees, God knows. Sometimes, where it just happens in a broad spectrum, I have stood up as a man of God, I said, Satan, get your hand off our business. We forbid you. You have that kind of authority. And it stops. and speak the blessing of the Lord. I pray over my men. God, give them supernatural ability. You know, somebody help us with some super, because you run into some really strange problems, and I don't have all the answers. Sometimes my engineers don't have all the answers, but God does, and God comes through. And had something happen recently. A car up in clear up in Benton Harbor just kept shutting down and shutting down and shutting down and shutting down. And if we slowed the car down, which was absolutely horrific, I guess, for the customer, so slow that they wouldn't do it. And they were getting so upset. Nobody had an answer, and we're just throwing parts at it. And man, I prayed about that. And this hotshot young man came up from Cincinnati, was helping me in other stuff, and I brought it up to him. And he said, "Oh, I know what to do." He says, "The car thinks it's oscillating or overspeeding." And he says, "You just take the speed on that limiter board and turn that back about 3 clicks." He said, "I've done that on all kinds of them." And he goes, he started naming all these different things that could fail in the circuit. Said, "Won't even see them. It'll never happen." And nobody even know the difference. And our answer came just like that. And I'm spreading to the guys in Ohio. And it's like, man, let's put that on a few other ones, turn a few clicks and get rid of. And after 39 years, you don't see it all. Amen. And the devil's got plenty of new tricks too. Amen. But we don't have to be ignorant of his devices. Amen. And God is so good. We need our eyes open. There's a lot of darkness going on in the world right now. I know you see it. You see it in the news. I quit watching the news quite a while ago. I ain't gonna listen to the lies. I listen to some local news. Sometimes I want to see the weather because I'm fulfilling a prophecy with Jesus, you know. You want to see the weather and you want to see the sky. And I want to know what it's going to be like so I can fly. And I want to know the weather. But in our national debt, pretty scary. At some point, the dollar is going to collapse. The only thing holding it up is, I believe, is God in the church. The prayer, I truly believe that. I truly believe that. You know, one time, you know, we don't put our faith in the dollar. Try and get my retirement all laid out, and you got inflation and vehicles that cost. I was at Gates the other day, and I'd love to replace, you know, Rhonda's truck. And I was looking at a truck for mine, and I did a project truck, and that's another story. But it was a wonderful, turned out to be a wonderful thing. But I was just looking by the parts; they were $90,000. They just expect you to, you know, $1,000 to $1,500 a month payment for a vehicle. It's insanity, isn't it? Well, and you haven't had a payment on a vehicle for, we drive our cars 14 years. It's hard to go back to a payment. But speaking of the dollar, have you ever noticed what's on the dollar? There's four words, and I'm closing. It's on the dollar. In God we trust. And you know what's amazing about that? That dollar and God we trust, you can use that dollar almost anywhere around the world. Only the U.S. You can't do that with the Mexican or the Russian. I don't know who's got the ruble and the Japanese yen. And nobody else does that exchange. And I've been around. I've been to Brazil and I've been up to Canada and a few places on a ship and been down to Haiti. And everybody wants that American dollar. What a testament that is. In God we trust. And I don't know, somewhere off the start of the 30s or 60s, it was backed up by gold. You could cash your dollar in for any bar of gold. And when Nixon came in, we had printed so much money and spread it around the world, they realized, it wasn't just Nixon, it was a group of people, that if everybody started cashing in and said, "Give me my gold," we had four times the dollar amount out then. You know, it was a 4-to-1 ratio. They had to devalue the dollar. So, amen, we don't trust in riches. We don't trust in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord. I trust in God. He's my source. Amen. He's my provider. He can do anything. He's going to keep you. He's going to keep me. Amen. God, open our eyes as to what's going on in the world and open up our eyes to the needs and the hurts of people around us. I don't want to write anybody off, no matter. I'm just an example. Be so left, so opposite of what we are. But the power of God can change that. Any circumstance comes up where they need healing or a touch, something only God can do. You know, one of the, I'm closing this. And Bill, the one that got saved, my former, one of the last things that happened in the office, things were slowing down. And salesmen have to generate so much money or they don't have a job. And I said, Bill, I said, he sold FP, fixed price. And I said, I'm going to pray in God. And God's going to bring in some FP, some sales dollars. And Notre Dame called us and said, we want to change all the doors and hardware at Hesburgh Library. And this was a lot of money then. It's not a lot of money now in the elevator world, especially when a car costs 90 grand. But it was a $250,000 sale that come in. Glory to God. Glory to God. It matters if you pray. I've heard Sister Casey's wife talked about, you know, they were complaining about the tips and the money was low and waitresses live on tips. She said, well, let's pray and let's ask God. And I think they had some $500 nights. Hallelujah. He cares. He sees. He knows. And he wants to provide all your need according to his riches and glory. Amen. Stand with me. Let's pray. God, we thank you. Thank you for this great crowd. Thank you for the word of the Lord. Thank you for your miracle working power to make yourself known, Lord, to get glory. Use each and every one of us here today and open our eyes more than we've seen before of your power, your glory. God, to see the need to speak your word, to speak a word of encouragement and love and healing over someone. Use each and every individual here, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.